Good morning, church.
Morning.
God is good.
All the time.
Are you sure? And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. God is good. So, I'd like you to do something for me before I bring the word. I'll sing a song and I want us to move and greet someone you've not seen. Just, you know, move around, give a hug, say hello to someone. And tell them you're welcome in the name of the Lord. You are welcome in the... Come on. Stand, go around, greet someone. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of the Lord. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. Welcome in the name of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of the Lord. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of the Lord. You are welcome in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I really pray for strength this morning because my health has been challenged. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you for strength. And you know what? His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you are happy to be here this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Are you happy to be here this morning?
Yes.
Amen. You know what David said? No place like... Amen. No place like the house of God. You know, no place like the presence of God, because in his presence there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. You know, Lucy said it. He said, if you came here this morning, you are empty, he will fill you. If you came here this morning, you are sick, he will heal you. If you came here this morning, know what? You are tired, he will strengthen you. If you came here this morning, whatever it is that you are lacking, you know what? In his presence, you get that. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage us this morning, have an expectation. You know, when you come in the house of the Lord, you need to have an expectation. Don't just go and say, I'm going to church. No. Oh, God, carry so on. No problem. You see, when we go into the house of the Lord, okay. Hi to our Facebook viewers. You know, when we come into the house of the Lord, we need to come with expectation. You don't just leave your house and say, I'm going to church. You know, come with expectation. What is it that you are expecting from God? What is it that you want God to do for you? That word that is coming, how do you want that word to touch you? Come with that expectation, because if we have no expectation, guess what? You get nothing. You come to church and you go back the same. And that's not the will of God. He wants us, when we come into his house, when we go back changed. We go back transformed. We go back filled. We go back different. Hallelujah. And I believe that this morning, you know, we have started with worship. How many of you felt the presence of God? I did. You know, the worship, the breaking of the bread, now his word. And I'm sure that we're not going to leave this place the same. Definitely, I'm not going to leave this place the same. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just want to bless your holy name this morning. Hallelujah. Father, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Lord, we thank you for your joy that fills our heart this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We thank you for your move among us, oh God. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your presence, Lord. Father, it's not given to everyone. There are people who love to be here this morning, and they are not. So we count it a privilege, Lord. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you continue to move in our midst. Lord, as your word is coming forth, speak to us, Lord. I'm just a vessel. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to use me. Lord, speak through me, oh God. And as your people listen to the word, Holy Spirit, may you minister to them according to their various needs. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was in it last Sunday. Kerry preached, and I heard it was a powerful word. The Sunday before Pastor Rob preached, I was sitting there, and I was blessed. You know, God is good. He speaks to us through his word. He blesses us. And you know what? And I'm eager to hear myself. You will laugh, but the truth is, when you stand here with you, when you deliver that word, is the Holy Spirit speaking through you? There are times when I go back home and I listen to myself and I'm thinking, well, this doesn't sound like you, Ella. Why? Because it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So when I preach this word like this, it ministers to me as well. Hallelujah. So we're going through the book of Genesis, and today I'm going to cover Genesis chapter 11, and it's talking about the Tower of Babel. But before I go into my main message, which is in Genesis chapter 11, I would just like to set, you know, like a background, set the scene for those who have not been here and those who are here for their first time. So at least you're going to understand when I carry on with Genesis chapter 11. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, it tells about the beginning, the creation. God created the world. God created everything that we can see. And you know, each time God did something, he said, "He was good." When he created the light, he said, "It is good." When he created the moon, everything he created, he said, "It is good." But then when he came to man, you know, when all the other things, he spoke them into existence. He said, "Let it be light," and there was light. "Let it be this," and there was. But when he came to you and me, and I would say man is the zenith of God's creation. He didn't just say, "Let it be man." No, he said, "Let us make man." He took time to make you and myself. What does that tell us? We are important. He said, he didn't just say, "Let us make man." Let us make man in our own image. In his image, the image of God himself. In his likeness. And on top of it, he gave us dominion, power. And he gave a command, he said, "Be fruitful," to Adam and Eve. "Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth," and he said, "Subdue the earth." He gave them power. He gave us power. Hallelujah. And when you go through, you see, at some point, man failed. You know the story of Adam and Eve, how the Satan tempted Eve. I mean, both of them, they fell. And they had children. God said, "Replenish the earth, fruitful, multiply." And they did multiply. You know, he carried on and carried on. And people were serving God. And at some point, you know what? Evil accrued. People started behaving the way they wanted, putting aside the law of God and acting in their flesh and doing things according to their own pleasure. And when we get to the story of Noah, the Bible says that everyone was doing what they wanted. Does it sound like today? Everyone is doing what they want, living the way we want, forgetting that there is a God. And you know what God did? The Bible said God repented. God repented for creating man. And I'm trying to imagine God who took his time to create us and gave us power and dominion. And he had so much hope and thinking man is going to fulfill my purpose. And then he gets to a point that man, you know, disappointed him so much that he repented. Why did I even create man? That would have been really, really hard. For those of us who are parents, you know, when your child does something to the point that you are disappointed, you look at them and you think, "I don't know about you." God repented for creating us. But you know, God is merciful. God is merciful. He decided he was going to destroy the earth, but he found a man. He found Noah. The Bible says that he found Noah, and he decided, you know what? I'm not going to destroy everyone. Through Noah, I'm still going to carry out my plan and purpose for the earth and for man. Hallelujah. And he sent a flood, destroyed everything, and Noah was left. Amen. Amen. And as from Noah and his family, you know, God said again, after Noah has sacrificed, offered the sacrifice, and God was pleased, God made a promise and said, I'm not going to destroy the earth through flood again. And what is a sign of his covenant, if you can remember? The rainbow. I'm not going to destroy the earth again. And this rainbow will be a sign of my covenant, that when you see the rainbow, you remember the word that I said. And he gave them another command. He said, be fruitful. The same thing he said to Adam and Eve. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And he said, replenish the earth. And Noah and his descendant did. So now we come into chapter 11, where we speak about the Tower of Babel. Please, can you go with me to Genesis chapter 11, as from verse 1. Okay, let's read. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as the journey from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in heaven. Is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Can you imagine that? Like I said, God gave a command. He said, be fruitful, multiply. You know, like scatter yourself abroad, replenish the earth. And I believe that these are Noah's descendants. They have heard about the flood, so they knew exactly the command of God, what God wanted them to do. But guess what? This is like rebellion. They decide, no, we're not going to do it. It's not like telling God, we're not going to do it. But through their action, you can tell that they refuse to obey God. You know, they say, come. They were journeying. They got somewhere. They say, we're going to stay here. You know, we're going to build a tower. We're not just building a tower. We're going to make a name for ourselves. What about replenishing the earth? What about moving around? What about being scattered and fulfilling the purpose of God? It's like, God, we don't care about what you've said. This is what we decide. And guess what they say? We are going to do this. We are going to do this. And that is the pride of life. You know, when we get to that place that is about us, it's about me, I am going to do this. I am going to achieve this. I am going to build this. I am going. In the book of Genesis, when Satan tempted Eve, guess what he said to her? He said, Eve said, God told us not to eat the fruit. But he said to her, if you eat the fruit, you will be like God. Pride of life. You will be like God. Like she was thinking, oh yes, so I'm going to be powerful. I'm going to be powerful. And she ate, she disobeyed. Why? Because of that I. When you read the word of God in the book of John chapter, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it tells us about the sin. Sin are categorized in three. You know, the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every sin that we commit is categorized in those three sections. The loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. And in this passage that we're reading, it's about the pride of life. We want to make a name for ourselves. I want to ask you a question today. What is it that we are doing which is out of what God has asked us to do? What is it that we are doing that we are in rebellion to what God has asked us to do? And you know, sometimes you don't really realize it. Why? Because the enemy is very subtle. Very, very subtle. God will ask us to do something. And guess what? He will come in a very subtle way and show us something not really bad. Something that is, you know, kind of good, but make us get out of the will of God and start doing things for ourselves. Hallelujah. We can see that all over the world today. And I don't want to focus on the world. I want to focus on the church. You know, today, people are building. You will find churches, but are they really God? Is it really for God or is it for man? You know, building, it's good to have big buildings, but I've come across people, across men of God who are like, have you seen my church? My church has 1,000 members. And it's just like competition. And I'm thinking, you can have 1,000 members and you can have 100 members or 50 members. If it is about God, you know, we don't care. Yes, we need the people, but it's not about you. It's not about us. It's about God. God will give us according to the capacity that we can handle. He can give you 100 members because he knows that you can handle 100 members. I was talking with someone the other day and you know, it's just, I don't know about you, but when you watch the social media, you know, people, men of God go to the point that they buy titles. I'm telling you the truth. You know, and someone was telling me about a man, man of God, a preacher who is ready to pay money for him to be given a title of apostle. There's just so much going on out there. The pride of life. Why? I want to be called apostle. I want to be called this. I want to be called that. Why? And when you read the Bible, it talks about the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry is not about title. It's about responsibility. You know, when God calls you as a pastor, it's about the responsibility. It's not about the title that you carry. Amen. You see, Jesus was God. But when he walked on earth, he walked in humility. And even to the point that, you know, he died on the cross. Philippians 2, as from verse 9, if you read, he humbled himself, the Bible says, and he died on the cross. When we talk about humility, we talk about obedience. There is no humility without obedience. Hallelujah. Humbling ourselves, obeying God. Whatever he asks us to do, guess what? We do it. Hallelujah. You know, God calls you into ministry and you look at it, you think, oh no, ministry is not going to give me what I want in life. Lord, I'm not going to do ministry. I'll carry on with my corporate job. With this, I earn a lot of money. I have a good house. I have me this. Forget about ministry. Ministry is what God has called you to do. That's your purpose on earth. And you know, we end up not fulfilling our purpose. Why? Because of our own personal ambitions. Because of maybe we want a name. God said, do this. And we said, no. Not saying no literally, but choosing to do what we want to do. And that's what the people did there. You know, talking to you, and I'm talking to myself as well. Where you find yourself in a place where you begin to do your own things. You begin to do your own things and you forget about the things that God has called you to do. I just want us this morning, I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us to realign ourselves. Realign ourselves and focusing on what God has called us to do. Amen? Amen. Because guess what? The reward that we're going to get at the end of the day is going to depend on what God has called us to do. It's going to depend on our obedience to His word and His will. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's keep on reading. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 5 says, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the Son of Man had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth." You know, they were building the city, and I believe that God just led them and said, "Let me see what, you know, what they would do. Let me see to what extent these people are going to act." And at some point, God said, "You know what? Let me go down." And I believe he said, "Let us go down." So he spoke. There you see the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's go down and see what they are doing. And I love the statement that God that he used here. He said, "Indeed, they are one, and they all have one language." And God is saying that nothing can stop them in order to achieve what they've purposed to do. Can you imagine the power that man has? The potential, even the fallen man. God gave us power. When you read when God created all the animals, guess who named them? Adam. Adam, just telling you how much intelligence that God gave man. When we look at all the invention today, all the things that have been created, some at the detriment and destruction of man, and some helping us, it shows the potential that God gave man. Amen? And it also tells us here that when people come together, they can achieve so much. Amen? Amen. God said they speak one language. Nothing can stop them. The fact that they've come together, the fact that there is unity among them, nothing can stop them from achieving whatever they want to achieve. Amen. You know, there's someone who said, "United we stand. Divided, what happened? We destroy, we fall." So there is power in unity. There is power when we come together. Hallelujah. When we come together as a church and decide to do things for God, amen, there will be tremendous result. And the enemy has understood that, and that's what he does, dividing the church, dividing us, sowing seed of discord here and there so we can be separated and we will be able to achieve what God wants us to achieve. Amen? Amen. The Bible says one will chase 1,000, two will chase how many? 10,000, can you imagine? When Jesus sent his disciple out, he sent them two by two, right? No one. Because there was power. He knew that if two of them are together, I mean, if one falls, the other person is able to pick his brother or his sister up. There is power in unity. And we need to understand that and work together. Amen. If we want to see the plans and the purposes of God to be achieved. Yeah, Tony. Unfortunately, we as the church, I don't think we really understand that. Because if we do, we will come together. Amen? Amen. And what the enemy is doing out there, dividing the church. You know, dividing the church over trivial things. You know, we don't wear trousers. I mean, that's the reason for us not to come together. For some churches, we don't wear trousers. Oh, no, we don't wear makeup. Oh, no, we cover our hair. Oh, no, we baptize in the name of Jesus. They baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They do. and just reason like that for separation, giving room to the enemy. I believe that, you know what? If we all believe that Jesus was born by the Virgin Mary, he died on the cross, he was buried after 3 days, he rose again, he went to heaven, and he's returning back. If we all believe that, then that's a reason for us to come together. That's enough. Whether you wear trousers or you don't wear trousers, does that matter? Whether you wear makeup or you don't wear makeup, does it matter? Church, let's wake up. Let's come together. And you know, the social media is not helping at all. And we go on there with messages and oh God. You see pastors quarreling with one another. And I'm thinking, what are we showing the world? We want to preach this gospel and bring people to Christ. And we are tearing each other down. And how do we expect that they will come to Christ? If among you, you cannot show any love, you cannot show any tolerance, and we expect people from the world to come in, impossible. We need to get back together. We need to get back together. Hallelujah. Yes, it's true. We are human. We are human. There will be times that we'll disagree. But like Pastor Rob says, sometimes we disagree to agree. We'll find, you know, a compromise somewhere and say, okay, Pastor Rob, well, I don't really agree with that. He will say, okay, Ella, I don't really agree with that, but can we just move on and do this? You know, why? For the sake of the kingdom. And God understood that if I leave these people together, if they have started building this tower, you know, them coming together, this is what they are doing. If I leave them together, I don't know what else they're going to do. And God scattered their language. And when I was reading this part, I was just laughing, just thinking that we are all together speaking one language, and then God has confused our language, and we don't know. And I said to Martin is my husband, in English, I said, Martin, can you hand me the phone? And he said, quoi? That's French. You know, and he said something to Dave. Dave said, arrivederci. And he turned and said something to Pastor Rob. Pastor Rob said, hola. I'm like, okay. So God confused their language and they couldn't carry on. And guess what? They were forced now to do what God has called them to do, spreading out. Not like, Dave can't understand me. You know, I'm going to go my way. Pastor Rob can't understand me. We can't walk together. I'm going my way. And at the end of the day, God's purpose was fulfilled, scattering them. But do we think that that's the way that God wanted to do it? No, that wasn't the way that God wanted to do it. And that's what happened in our lives, that God gives us a mandate, or God gives us direction, or God gives us, asks us to do something, and we decide, no, I want to do my own things. I want to do it this way, Lord. And we carry on. And there are points that God will sit and think, okay, I need to bring Ella back to the right path. Guess what? He can allow something to happen to me. You know, a challenge, something that will cause me to sit back and reason and think. So he will use that to redirect my focus. Amen. Amen. In the book of Acts of Apostles, Acts chapter 1, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said to his disciple, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. That he gave them a command. That's what you're going to do. But guess what? When they received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and they stayed there. They were comfortable in Jerusalem preaching the gospel. They forgot, or they just choose to stay there because they were comfortable. But when you read Acts chapter 8, after when Stephen was stoned, the Bible says that persecution, great persecution arose against the church. And guess what happened? The disciples scattered. They went down to Judea. They went to Samaria. And I believe later on when we read Acts, you know, other parts of the world. Do we need a persecution for us to be able to do the will of God? Do you need a persecution in order to do what God has called you to do? Do you need a challenge in order to do what God has called you to do? He is God. He is God. And I believe that God wants us to obey. When he gives us instruction, he wants us to obey. He doesn't want to bring challenges or persecution in order. He doesn't bring them. He allows in order for us to fulfill his will. Think about Jonah. Do you remember the story of Jonah? The Lord said, go to Nineveh, go and preach. Go and tell these people about me to repent, or else I'm going to destroy the city. And Jonah looked and said, he didn't say to God, I'm not going. Because that's what we do. We don't say, God, I'm not doing it. We just choose to do what we want to do. And he decided to go to Spain instead. You know, he got on the ship going to Tarshish. And God said, you know what? I need to bring this guy back. He has to do my will. He sent a storm. He sent a storm, but unfortunately, you know, that storm. And I'm thinking, the people who were there on that boat were not supposed to go through that storm, were they? It's because of Jonah. Because he disobeyed. And most of the time, our disobedience in carrying out the purpose of God affects others around us. It affects others around us. The people had to go through that terrible storm. I'm thinking how much they were afraid and thinking they were going to die just because Jonah decided to do his own thing. But we thank God for his mercy. You know what? God is merciful. Very merciful. Because in the case of, you know, the Tower of Babel, the people there, God would have brought judgment. But he showed them mercy. He showed the message, he scattered them. You know, I'm going to confuse your language. You're going to go out there. You will fulfill my purpose. How many times does he show us mercy? Over and over and over. Amen? Amen. We thank him for his grace. But Apostle Paul said something, that we should not abuse the grace of God. We should not abuse the grace of God. We should be willing to obey God when he speaks to us. We should be willing to do what he has asked us to do without having to go through the challenges and the sufferings and all of those, because that is not his will for us. Hallelujah. I just want us to reflect this morning. You know, let's look into our lives. Maybe the challenge you're going through, it's as a result of disobedience, I don't know. And you've been thinking, oh God, why am I facing this? Why am I going through this challenge? Maybe there is something that the Lord asks you to do. And you know, and you've not decided not to do it, but actually you're doing your own thing. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. God is calling us this morning. You know what? He wants us to be obedient to his call, be obedient to his word, be obedient and follow his direction. And God wants us to be united as a church, you know, working together in order to achieve his purpose. Hallelujah. Can we stand up, please? I just want you to speak to the Lord personally. You know, I don't know which part of this message resonated with you. I don't know how the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. But I just want you to speak to the Lord. Maybe you've gone away from his purpose and plans for your life. and the Lord is speaking to you. He's calling you back. Maybe you're supposed to walk in unity with someone or people to achieve the purpose of God, and you just decided, I'm not doing it. I don't know, maybe you find yourself in a storm right now, and the reason for that storm is because of, you know, disobedience. I just want you to speak to the Lord. And maybe where you are, you think you're doing the right thing, but actually it's not. Because you're far gone until you've forgotten even what God has called you to do. It's still time to say, Lord, I can't even remember what you asked me to do. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you bring that to my remembrance. So I can turn back, Lord, and just ask God for his help. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. If you have to ask for forgiveness, ask him to forgive you, and to give you the grace and the strength that you need to get back on track and to do his will. Of guilt and Father, we just ask you to touch our life this morning. If you can pray in the Holy Spirit, I would like you to pray in tongues. Just pray in the Holy Spirit. If you can pray in tongues, just pray in tongues. Father, touch our life this morning, oh God. Father, break chains, oh God. Father, revive lives, oh God. Father, bring peace, Father, where there is storm. Father, bring healing, Father God, where there is sickness. Oh God, revive our life, Father. For those that the fire for you, Lord God, has gone cold. Lord, we ask you to revive the fire. Lord, that we will not leave this place the way we came, oh God. But Lord, we will live in fire for you, oh King of glory. Manifest yourself, Father God, in our life. We need a touch from you, oh God. For without you, there is nothing that we can do. Without you, Jesus, we are nothing. Have your way, Father God, in us. Have your way, Father. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way. We give you the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for having your way in our lives. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving in us, oh God. Father, we pray that you revive us. Father, we pray that you replenish us. Father, we pray that you strengthen us. Father, we pray that you heal us. Father, we pray that your perfect will for our lives be done, oh God. Receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.